Hello, it's me again, Neil Ewers in Madison, Wisconsin, and welcome to the second edition of the podcast on the Zoom Handy 4-Track Recorder. This podcast is in three parts. The first part, I'll be using different microphones to see how they sound. In the second part, I'll be talking about some things I've found about how you save configuration files even though they are stored on the card instead of in raw memory. And in the third part of the podcast, I'll be talking about some of the menu items and how to get from one place in the menu to another. We start out with part one, different microphones. This is the Rode NT1A microphone, a phantom-powered microphone. So we get to discover how quiet these preamps are and how well this recorder works with phantom-powered microphones. Let me stop talking for a second, and we'll just listen to the noise of the preamp. I'm about 9 inches from this microphone. There is no bass roll-off on this recorder. That's another thing I wish it had, which it does not. And this microphone doesn't have any either. So you're hearing it the way it's going to sound. Were I to really use it the way I wanted to, I might roll off some of the bass in SoundForge. And I might do that starting right now. So this is what it would be if I rolled off some of the bass in SoundForge, just because I like to hear this particular sound. Well, enough of this. We know it now works with phantom-powered mics, and it obviously works with lots of different phantom-powered mics. By the way, it has 48 volts and 24 volts. And obviously nothing's going to sound quite as good as this mic in this test, because this is probably one of the best mics I have, although it doesn't really cost that much. I don't remember what I paid for it, but it was certainly under $200. And it very much sounds like, as I think we have mentioned on this list before, the Neumann TLM-103, which sells for about $850, $60, $70. All right, this is the sound of this microphone. By the way, I do have the recorder plugged in, because to not do so on phantom power is asking for trouble. Phantom power is going to draw a lot more battery power. And since you only get about 4 hours anyway, probably better to plug it in. By the way, I'm using a photo battery instead of just the alkaline battery. I've also used rechargeable batteries, and they all seem to work. One of the problems with this recorder is that I haven't found in any place in the manual, nor can my wife find, a battery gauge. It simply says battery low when you're about to run out. How long before one runs out? That, of course, would be the question. Okay, enough of this. Let's go to a different microphone. And now, while it's still nice and quiet in here, we have returned to the internal microphone. Obviously, there's more noise, but as we discovered in the last podcast, there's obviously a lot less than there is on the Eddyroll. We didn't compare it with the MicroTrack and the Eddyroll R1, but they're pretty similar. The other nice thing about this microphone is that it's more directional. As I said yesterday when I made the podcast, it's a bit more subject to wind, and outdoors, even with a windscreen, using the internal mic could be a problem. But let me now play you a portion of a recording I made over Christmas when we were visiting some friends, and you'll determine that you can hear quite well the direction from which each speaker is coming. My wife is grating lemon, my friend is peeling something, I'm not remembering what, and I'm holding the microphone.
And what are we making with this?
We are making Ukrainian.
Oh, that's right.
Christmas cake.
At the Russian restaurant, they had a raspberry chocolate cake. They also had something that sounded very much like German coconut. The only thing it missed was the German chocolate. It didn't have that flavor to it. I don't know how originally they were.
How could it be a German chocolate cake without the German chocolate?
Well, it wasn't. It was in a Russian restaurant.
But how would it make you think of a German chocolate cake?
Because it had all the same kind of stuff, the coconut and all the stuff that the German chocolate cake has, except the chocolate was different.
Oh, like the caramely kind of crunchy. Okay.
How much zest would you like?
Until you get tired of it.
Oh, jeez. You know, there's a problem with digital recorders.
What's that?
Well, in order to record, you press record. To stop, you press record. Now, if you can see, that's one thing. But if you can't, and you don't remember what you've done last, it's a problem. Now, you can press play to have it stop recording. And then you press play again to have it play. But if you're not recording and you press play thinking you're going to stop, it's playing. And therefore, you can't record. So, it's done.
Okay, I'm done.
It is a problem.
Here you go, ma'am.
All right, now I'm using the Danish Pro Audio quasi binaural mics. I'm going to go out here and start the dishwasher. The part of the recording you just heard with my family was done with the internal microphone on the Zoom recorder with battery power. And as you could tell, there was, well, I certainly didn't hear the hum or whistle that we talked about. So even just the slightest amount of noise will probably be enough to sort of cancel out that noise. It's only if you're in a very quiet room that you're going to hear it. Putting the last dish in the dishwasher here. This recorder does have some strange oddities, though. Get in there. One of them being that when you are using external microphones and you have changed the volume on the external microphones by going into the menus and making that change, once you turn off the recorder and turn it back on again, it stays as it was. Once you change batteries and turn back on the recorder, the volume stays as it was. But once you go back to internal microphones, guess what? The volumes that you've just set for the external microphones have just been lost. Which seems to be a very silly thing. Obviously, they had some reason for doing that, but I can't for the life of me figure out what it would be. And that brings up another problem, or possible problem. Many of the settings on this recorder remain the same, as I said, when you turn the recorder off, when you change batteries, etc. However, instead of storing them in some kind of ROM in the recorder, they seem to be stored on the card. So when you format the card, guess what's gone? All your settings. Or at least some of them. For example, if you have it set to use the limiter, when you format the card, the limiter is no longer on because the default for limiter is off. I'll stoop down here in front of the dishwasher so we can get a good sound of it in our binaural microphones or quasi-binaural microphones. So there are some problems here relative to what gets saved on the recorder and what doesn't. And the fact that you may always have to keep that in mind when you're formatting cards, etc., because obviously there will be things that need to be changed. All right, enough noise of the dishwasher. One of the reasons I'm using these mics points out a particular thing. Now, I don't know if I can do this with the dishwasher on or not, because you might not be able to hear
the silence enough. Let me go into the bedroom, close the door, it's reasonably quiet in here, and tell me if you hear any. You do not. So my other discovery is, by the way, these microphones sound kind of muffled because they're on my ears and pointing out toward the side, and that is often the case of binaural mics. What I have discovered is that if you use balanced microphones, even without the recorder plugged in to AC, the whistle goes away. I haven't tried all the balanced and non-microphone microphones in my supply, but up to this point, that seems to be it. There is no RF noise associated with unbalanced mics, and I really live in a bad place for that, because if there were any, I'd probably get it. So there's no radio signals, there's no kind of noise. There is that whistle, but not if you're using balanced microphones. So, there you have it. Let me bring up two things I forgot to bring up last time. The price of this recorder is $2.99. You can get it pretty much all over the place for that price. The retail price is $3.99, but I have basically seen it for $2.99. The other thing I want to mention is that although, well, let me back up. The manual says that you're only supposed to use alkaline batteries. As I said previously, I've used various kinds, but you cannot recharge rechargeable batteries in the unit. It doesn't work. You can plug the unit in while the rechargeable batteries are still in the recorder, but they aren't going to charge. You have to use a charger. All right, now, let's go find some other mics to play with. All right, this is an Audio-Technica microphone. An Audio-Technica, I believe, 942. I'll check the model number to make sure. I'm using it as a lapel mic. It actually comes in a stereo pair from soundprofessionals.com. It is called a Slimline Audio-Technica microphone. I used to have them in croquis to wear on my sunglasses, and they were really kind of cool, except I wanted something I could use for an interview mic. So I took them out of their croquis, separated them, and now have clips on them that I can clip onto my shirt. And they seem to work reasonably well. I don't hear a lot of noise, but I don't have the headphone volume all that high. All right, this is the Audio-Technica microphone. These obviously can be operated as stereo pairs. I happen to be in mono. And can be worn on your glasses, can be worn in croquis. They also have interchangeable, or you can order, interchangeable cardioid capsules. I did. That was a mistake. The cardioid capsules are much noisier than these, which is too bad, because now I have them and don't really use them. All right. What else can we find to play with? By the way, now I'm using these microphones in stereo. I'm holding them in front of me. Not as you would wear them if you were using them in a binaural setting, but at least this is the kind of quality you get with these mics. They're pretty good sounding mics. They're probably a couple $100, $250, something like that. And I'm using the power box that comes, well, it doesn't come with them, but you can get it from Sound Professionals. Were you to use the Eddyroll, you could power these without the box, but you wouldn't get as good an SPL rating that way. So anyway, that's the sound of these microphones in stereo. Sort of, I'm holding them maybe 10 inches apart, sort of talking back and forth from left to right. And as you can hear, there is a little, not the usual kind of hum in the left channel. These are, all of the Sound Professionals mics are, I don't mean to sound insulting, because I realize that people can only afford what they can pay, and so please, I don't mean to insult you in the least, but inexpensive microphones do sometimes have problems picking up RF signals, etc., and where I live, you're going to do that, because I live in a place surrounded by TV stations, radio towers, etc.
even in some of my really good mics, I get noise. And especially in the less expensive ones, I get even more. So chances are, if you don't live in as bad a place as I do, you're not going to get this problem. And now I'm using the Rode NT4 microphones. It's actually one microphone. It's an XY pattern two-capsule microphone. Actually, I'm thinking of selling this mic. I don't remember what the price is. I can't think it's more than a couple hundred dollars. Actually, I probably paid more for it than that. It's a very interesting mic in that you can put a 9-volt battery in, turn the switch on, and you can have battery power. Or it can be operated via phantom. Comes with two kinds of cords. The cord I'm using now is the balanced cord with two XLR plugs that go into one jack on the back of the microphone. The microphone also comes with a cord that has a jack that goes into the back of the microphone and a mini plug that goes into a mini disc recorder, eddy roll recorder, etc. I have a windscreen on. I'm going to take the windscreen off because that's obviously affecting the treble of the sound, but now I can't be quite so close to it. Yep, I just blew into it a bit. And there comes the furnace. It's reasonably quiet. I've backed up a ways from this so as not to blow into it. All right, this is the Rode NT4 microphone. And one of the other microphones I've often used in these tests is the Audio-Technica AT822 microphone. It is a battery-powered microphone. It's a bit noisier. Let's plug it into this recorder and see what it sounds like. A battery-powered, AA battery-powered microphone. Battery lasts for something like 3,000 hours. I wish the recorder battery lasted that long. Now, someone on this list wanted me to compare the recording with this microphone in the Zoom recorder with the recording of this microphone on the mini disc recorder. Because I've always maintained that although the mini disc preamps aren't as multifunctional, they're often quieter, especially with low powered microphones, than the eddy rolls, the micro tracks, etc. This is not the lowest powered microphone in the world, but it's getting down there. So, without any further comment on my part, let's plug this into the mini disc recorder and see what the difference is. And then we go back to the internal microphone of the Zoom recorder for a few more comments. And that is precisely what I've done. This is the mini disc recorder. And of course, the mini disc recorder being a mechanical device. Ah, yes, there's the noise of the disc spinning. Anyway, this is the noise I get from the preamp on the mini disc recorder. And the question is, how does it compare with the noise we got on the Zoom recorder? Well, I guess now we know. And now we're back to the internal microphone of this recorder. I just discovered something very interesting. Remember I said earlier that when you reformatted the card on the recorder, or even in your computer, it totally did away with all the presets that you've done, the limiter settings, the internal microphone volume settings, etc. Well, there is a file in a folder on the card in the recorder that has to do with configuration settings. Unfortunately, it also has to do with the files you put on the recorder, i.e., it is a table of contents of sorts. But I reasoned that if I reformatted the card on the recorder and without placing any files on it, then made the changes I wanted to make in the limiter, volumes, etc., and then connected the recorder to the computer, copied that file from that folder onto my hard drive, then put the card back in the recorder, reformatted the card on the recorder. Now I have the default settings there. And you're right, none of my settings were saved. However, when I copied the file from my computer back to the card, guess what? The configuration settings I had made on the original file were saved. So you could actually make several files. You could make one that is 44.1 16-bit. You can make one that's 44.1 24-bit. By the way, this does record in 24-bit. I think I neglected to say that yesterday on the podcast. You could make one whose MP3 kbps defaults to 128 or 192, 160, etc. You could name all these appropriate things in the computer and copy those particular files back to the card with the particular settings you happen to want. So, we've tricked this little guy. The last thing I want to do on this podcast is to talk briefly about menus. There are two types of menus. One you access by pressing the joystick on the front of the recorder straight in. This gets you into file and format and various things like that, and we'll go through some of those. The other menu is the input menu, which you access by pressing the bottom of the joystick on the front of the recorder. This gets you into all the microphone settings, the volume settings, everything that has to do with input. If you're in a menu, you arrow up and down through the menus by using the jog dial on the side of the recorder. We're talking specifically here about stereo mode. I haven't even gone into four-track mode yet, and will not on this podcast. There are two levels of menus. Well, actually, in one place there are three. To go into a submenu, you press in the jog dial, or enter. And so we'll always refer to this from now on as enter. You arrow up and down in the internal menus, none of which wrap. Well, maybe one does. Yeah, there's always exceptions, but most of the time they don't. Let's say you go into the limiter menu, and there are three choices. There's limiter off, there's compression, and there's limiter. And you arrow up to limiter. Now, theoretically, what you're supposed to do is press enter, and you accept that choice. To get out of the menu, what you do is to press in the joystick on the front of the recorder. However, in this version of the update, you can do that even before you press enter on the choice you wish to make, and whatever choice you're on when you exit the menu is saved. In other words, if you arrow to something, there's no way to get out of the menus that I know of and cancel what you've done. Theoretically, that should happen if you pressed the joystick in and exited the menu without pressing enter on any of the choices, but it doesn't work that way. This is certainly something I'm going to write to them and suggest they change, because it's certainly an oversight not to be able to, at least I don't know of a way at this point, to cancel out of a menu and make no changes. All right, with that caveat, let's talk about some of the specific menus. I'm going to do something strange. Instead of starting at the top and going down, I'm going to go up from the bottom. Actually, I'm going to go up from where you come into the menus. And I'm doing that because, for some strange reason, when you go into a menu such as limiter, the default is at the bottom normally. And the other choices are up from that. So, keeping with that strategy, strange as it is, I'm going to go up. So, let's talk about first the input menu. Press the bottom part of the joystick on the front of the recorder, and the first thing you're on is mic source. If you press enter, you go into this menu, you're on internal microphone. Go up one, and you're on external. Now remember I also said that you can either do this outside of record, you can do it in record standby, so you can hear what's being changed, or you can actually do it when it's recording. So in either of the latter two, you can hear the internal mic drop out, and you either hear nothing if you don't have an external microphone plugged in, or you hear the external microphone. Choose one of those. If you choose one of those, if you press enter on one, you back out of that level of the menu. If you press the joystick on the front of the recorder, you back totally out of menus. So it's easier if you're making more than one setting to press enter on your choice, and now you're taken back out of the microphone source menu. You're still on that choice, but you are outside of that menu now. Go up one, and you're into limiter and compression. If you press enter, you go in here, you're at the bottom, the choice is limiter off, arrow up one is compression, arrow up another one is limiter. Press enter on the one you want, and you're back out on that menu, but outside of it. Now, here's where it gets a bit tricky, because these are smart menus. So, for example, if you have internal mic on, the next thing you get to as you go up in the menu is something called mic modeling. This is what we did yesterday when we changed from the AKG-414 to the Shure to the Sennheiser to the default mic, etc. However, the reason I say these are smart menus is if you do not have the internal microphone on, this menu doesn't appear. The mic model menu doesn't show up. It just ain't there. If it is there because you're using the internal mic, you simply go into it as you do before, press enter, and then you can arrow up and down amongst the choices and hear each one of them as you go by them. Press enter on it. You accept that, and now you're back outside that menu. The next menu you get to is auto gain. And for the life of me, I haven't been able to figure out what this does. I know what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to set the gain automatically. Now, how this differs from limiter or compressor, I don't know. But every time I've tried to go in there, it's not let me in there. So I'm not sure what the deal is. But I probably don't want it anyway. The next thing you get to is monitor. Now, I thought yesterday when I mentioned this that it was where you turn the headphone monitoring off and on. Well, I was wrong. If you have monitor on, by the way, it's off by default, as soon as you turn the recorder on, the microphone is on. It's as if you have pressed record standby. So, for example, if you've connected this to your computer just from the output of the recorder, and you want to use it as a microphone, not through USB necessarily, but just from the line out into your computer, as soon as you turn the recorder on, the microphone comes on with its limiter and whatever volume you've chosen. Then when you press record, you'd think you'd start recording, but you don't. You still go into record standby. And then if you press it again, you're in record. And if you press it again, well, that's interesting. You're no longer in record, but since you're in monitor mode, you don't know that you're not in record because you can still hear what's coming through the microphone. So this is a little bit confusing here, but that's the way monitor works. The next thing you get to is phantom power. Press enter. You're on the default at the bottom, which is off. Up one is 48 volts. Up two, or up the next one, is 24 volts. Again, make your choice and you're out of the menu. Now you're at level. And here it gets complicated again, depending on which mic you're using, internal or external. If you're using external, when you press enter on level, you have the choices, whether you're in stereo or four-track mode, of channels 1, 2, 3, or 4. And you arrow between these channels. And when you press in on any one of those channels, you can change the level. So each level is changed independently here. However, if you're using the internal microphone, when you press enter on level, you're at the place where you'd normally change the tracks were you not on internal microphone, but since you are, there's nothing there. So you have to press enter again to get to changing the mics in the internal microphone. And fortunately, these are ganged. You don't change one channel at a time. You go up or down, depending on whether you want to raise the volume by 1 dB per click or lower it 1 dB per click. And you press enter on whatever you want. And if you want out of the menu at that point, you simply press the joystick on the front of the recorder, and you're out. And now you're back to record source, microphone, internal and external. So those are the menus in the input section. All right, let's talk about the other menu. I guess that's what I'll call it. I'm not sure what they call it. As I said, you press in the middle of the joystick on the front of the recorder to get to this menu, and you go in on file. And here's where you can, if you go in there, you can erase a file, rename a file, etc. Make your choice, press enter, you're back out to that particular menu. You go up one, and you're on USB. And here's where you can choose between making the recorder connect to your computer as a drive, or having the ability to record from the recorder through USB onto your computer, which I have not tried yet. Go up one more time and you get to card. And this is where you can format and I'm not sure what else you can do. Look at what's on the card, etc. Go up one more and you get to display, which I haven't even looked at. Go up one more and you get to metronome. And I think this is because the way this recorder works, as I understand it, is you can only record two tracks at a time, even in four-track mode. I could be wrong about this, but I suppose you could record two tracks on the internal and two tracks on the external mic, but I don't know that. At any rate, what you can do is record two tracks, and then while listening to those two tracks, record another two tracks. And if you want to use a metronome to keep track of the beats, you can turn on the metronome. Now you get to recording format if you go up one more. And this is where you can not only change WAV file parameters from 16-bit to 24, and from 44.1 to 48 to 96, but you can also change the MP3 kbps rates. Go up one more and you get to mode, four-track or stereo. And now, you're back where you left off. That's all that's in this menu. Let's talk for a minute about the shortcut of getting into the format menu. Remember I said there were four buttons on the front of the recorder on the left-hand side, marked A through D. A is 96, B is 48, C is 44.1, and D is MP3. If you press any one of these except MP3, you simply change the sampling rate. You have to go into the menus if you want to change to 24-bit. If you press the bottom button, MP3, and you haven't pressed it before, you default to 128 kbps. If you arrow down once, you come in on format. If you arrow down once, you're on MP3. You press enter, and now you can arrow through the bit rates. You can go to 160, 192, 224, 256, 320, and your last step is actually VBR. Now you can actually go down to lower than 128K. I think you can go all the way down to 64 kbps if you really want to. All right, that I think takes care of as much as I can do in this podcast in this limited time on menus. And I think this about wraps up this podcast. I can certainly try additional mics at some point. I don't have every mic in the world by a long shot, but I've got others I haven't tried, but I think this might have given you some idea of the possibilities. If you have questions, contact me on any of the lists that you know I'm on, or send me an email at neil, N-E-A-L, dot Ewers, E-W-E-R-S, at Ravenswood, R-A-V-E-N-S-W-O-O-D dot org, and I'll try to answer any question I can. Until then, be safe, and we'll talk soon.